You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9am to 12 midday.
The St. Joseph's Male Choir are singing at the Height in Ennis this coming Sunday from 4 and on Monday, Christmas Eve from 3 o'clock. They're not collecting. They just want to inject the Christmas spirit into the streets of the town, and a very nice one, and the very best of luck to them on that. And you can keep your comments coming to us as well, 086 1800 964. A reminder, I've asked you for your moment of the year, and I've asked you for your person or people of the year, which will be amongst the questions I'll be asking of our Friday panel who've gathered to join me in studio this morning. First though, let's remind ourselves of some of the main news stories of the past 12 months.
Put their trust in the cervical check programme. Mistakes can and do happen, but the conduct of cervical check in the HSE, in my case, and in the case of at least 10 other women, is unforgivable.
I'm Laura, I'm 25 and I'm from Clare. There is no treatment that will cure my cancer. There is only treatment that will prolong my life.
We had a tight, core-knit group of people that were spent day after day for the last 6 weeks campaigning to repeal the Eighth Amendment. Many of the women are feeling quietly joyful today because this isn't something we were going to be celebrating from the rooftops. No, sir. This is something that is going to be a quiet, dignified and personal issue.
It honours the result of the referendum. It protects jobs, security and our union. But it also represents the very best deal that is actually negotiable with the EU.
There's been no consultation. We haven't been informed. We haven't officially been informed that it's even happening yet. Local councillors had the news leaked to them on Tuesday night. They weren't even formally informed that the process was happening. It's simply been delivered as a fait accompli.
I'm Brandon. That's Carly, my fiance. We're from America, from North Carolina. Every year we get about a big snow. We're pretty much set up with the salt trucks and everything like this. So this is a little unusual for me, okay, to shut down the whole country like this.
Things can happen. The site inside is devastated. Tents gone all over the place and everything.
Emotional, yeah, small bit. But it would have been so much more emotional if one of them didn't make it. That would have crushed a lot of people, including me.
Obviously, the town is a huge part of it. Everybody loves going to Lahinch. It's synonymous in Ireland and it's synonymous around the world. It's a great place to go with great crack. And that's really important as well, you know, having a good time and everybody having a good time and the crowds enjoying it.
Possible to ignore the news there of 2018. Some of it, at least, you heard from Vicky Phelan on the steps of the court after she settled her case, which blew open the issues at cervical check, followed by another woman with cervical cancer, another remarkable woman indeed, Laura Brennan from Ennis. Reaction to the result of the abortion referendum, Theresa May on Brexit, one Lister Inverna resident explaining some of the issues that local residents had there with the planned opening of the direct provision centre at the start of the year, or close to the start of the year, certainly. Snow in Ennis baffling Americans, and also the storm that levelled part of the National Ploughing Championships, Clare's cave rescue hero Jim Warney, and Paul McGinley as Lahinch was awarded the Irish Open of 2019, all to the soundtrack of The Cranberries and the late Dolores O'Riordan, who passed away in January. We're joined in studio this morning to look back on the year that was by Patricia McCarthy, former Mayor of Clare and longtime Shannon Councillor, Brian Meaney, also former Councillor for the Green Party and latterly for Fianna Fáil, and in the middle, Tom McAvoy, based in Ennis from Pieta House. Good morning to you all.
Morning, Alan.
Thanks very much for joining us on the programme this morning. Tom, where do you want to start? 2018.
Well, it's been
look back in the year and tell me what comes to mind.
Well, you mentioned Jim Warney in the review there, and definitely that stood out to me, being a significant time when I think we were all obviously apprehensive, or we were very, very concerned about the lives of 12 young lads very far away from here, and but yet obviously with media and everything now, it was inside our door. And Jim answered a call, and I had the great pleasure of meeting him only about a month and a half ago in town here, when he gave a great delivery of all of that happened. And very understated guy, and yet so skillful and very willing to help others. So that stood out in my mind straight away.
Glad you mentioned it, and I'm going to be self-promoting here on New Year's Day on Clare FM, just after the 1 o'clock news. We have a documentary, The Rescue, about Jim Warney and others who took part in that rescue, and it will tell stories that very few people have heard. I promise you it's worth your while. You'll enjoy it, I promise you, Tom. Patricia.
I suppose it's been a funny year, hasn't it, really, when you think back on it? Yeah, it's been an odd, very odd. Yeah. I mean, we've had the storms and we had the heat.
Yeah.
You know, like the extremes of weather and the effects of climate change. But I suppose for me, what really has stood out are the two women you mentioned and the cervical smear. It's just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable what has happened and what's still happening. And it took the women to come forward and be named and to stand up and say, we're not taking this anymore. And their bravery is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I know we didn't hear from her there, and I know there are others as well, but one woman who should also be mentioned in this context is the late Emma Vicfahuna, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You start to mention names and you forget about other people, but there have been a number of women, and it's not just Lorraine this year, Ball, Stephen it's over Teague, the years, and yet we still keeps happening, and something keeps happening. We're lucky, I suppose, that we're humans in a way, because if you were to give in to despair of the bed, of the mistakes and not learning from mistakes, I think that would destroy us. Mm. So I suppose we live in hope that something will be done to correct it. And I suppose that's one of the things that has stood out for me, apart from the homeless, the lack of housing.
We'll get on to maybe that in another while, just to keep, because there's a little bit that I wanted to explore with regards to the controversies at Cervical Check. It is no doubt, but what happened was horrific, and the image of the front page of the Irish Times the morning after Dr. Scally published his report with all the quotes from the doctors in which they effectively dismissed their female patients, that sticks with me and will forever do so. I suppose trying to look at the silver lining, which is very slender in a very dark cloud, there has at least been a response to it. You can question and criticise the response, but we had the Scally report. We've had the likes of the drug Pembro, which has been made available now to get more women with cervical cancer. And as well as that, you'll have this tribunal now taking place next year, where in the past, a lot of these mistakes and issues were brushed under the carpet.
Gavin, it's Christmas and it's the season of goodwill, and I am endeavouring to be as positive as I can be. But in this country, we have tribunals, we have committees, we have inquiries. And what has happened to everything? There have been a few have been actioned on, but it's been part of what has been recommended has been actioned on. Then they have been filed away, and then the next crisis has taken over. And I think, you know, it's not acceptable. And the fact that this time that it's the women aren't going to let go. That's for definite. You can see that every day. The way they were treated last week was absolutely disgraceful. That they had a meeting arranged with the minister. At the 11th hour, they were told he couldn't there. He was in the Shannon deal. And now it's important legislation going through. But how he could not, why he had to sit listening to all the speeches in the Shannon and couldn't come out and talk to the women after their waiting, was it 8 months?
Would he not have been insulted if he had come out of the Shannon and left?
But why couldn't he explain to them properly? Why couldn't he offer them the option of doing it? And I mean, you're talking about lives.
I know, I understand, but...
And I mean, it's the way that they've been pushed and pushed out and pushed out. Mm. You know, like it's 8 months since the Scally report. Was it 8 months? I think four months since that report. But before that, there was another period. Now suddenly they've got action. And I'd say that there's now another commission going to be set up and a judge in charge of it. And hopefully there will be something positive. And the drug has been made available. And no way should people have had to be paying for that if it meant that their life, some chance for their life. That's what you want, a chance at a life. And we're spending, is there 118 billion on the health services?
16 billion next year.
Well.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, significantly when Vicky and co came out and really started to pressurise and continue with that, it just proved that there is a worthwhile approach. The power of one comes to mind. You know, the power of one person making a difference, standing up there in front and really putting yourself out there on a limb, perhaps, because obviously there's a huge communication thing and all that media that's going to come back at you, you know, and the real energy that she has, you know, is amazing, and I think it will never be let go. You know, people will continue push back. Perhaps ministers will continue push back, but I think if people get behind the story and all of that, I think, you know, it's a credit to Vicky and co to help and make a difference.
Your own thoughts, Brian Meaney?
The baby found on the beach last week. Christened baby Bella, there have been appeals for the month come forward. But to me, just at that point, you know, something curious flashes in front of you and just catches your attention. And that did, because if you recall at the start of the year, one of the first pieces of breaking news with the Gardaí were reopening the investigation into the discovery of the Kerry baby.
Yeah.
And the day following that, we had the apology to Joanne Hayes. So, you know, it's just a curious bookend to the year, from my perspective. Mm-hmm. Patricia and Tom have referenced the cervical cancers, but there's been so many other dark clouds looming around our consciousness and the news items we have. It seems a president that's out of control in the most powerful country in the world. We have the never-ending issues in relation to climate change. We have reports saying we have 12 years to act. We have reports saying Ireland is the one of the worst performers in Europe. We have a green political movement that seems to be completely irrelevant. From my perspective, I find that very depressing. I have my own ideas as to why that is. But there are issues like cervical cancer, the way women are treated, the way babies were treated in the past, the way unmarried mothers were treated and their attitude towards them. If you were saying from that perspective, are we improving? We are. I think you saw a very different approach to the discovery of the baby, Bella, on the beach. And I was going to go back to that.
And we had a similar incident. I know it wasn't on a beach, but it was, I think it was last year, on a laneway. Close to the M7.
We've had several such instances. And you have to ask yourself, why do people feel that they have to take those actions if they're in difficulty? Yes. So are we improving?
No, we are. The improvements are small and incremental. I will concede that. But I can clearly remember, I'm old enough to clearly remember the chaos that surrounded the discovery of the baby in the Kerry baby, Joanne Hayes's alleged baby. Mm. And subsequently it's been proved beyond doubt, completely this notions of a double pregnancy, all these. I'm not going to go back what happened 33 years ago and what was a very difficult, probably sad country. Mm. But we have progressed. If anything has shown our progression, regardless of what side you took on the abortion referendum, it's the scale of that vote, the scale of it, the quiet way it happened. People didn't reveal their voting intentions. There was no, okay, there was a certain amount of rancor, but there was nothing like the viciousness of previous campaigns. I can concede that there are going to be difficult moments ahead as the abortion services are ruled out, but it was the size, the strength and the quietness of that vote that has shown that we have changed considerably.
But was that because of the difficulties that fatal abnormalities, the difficulties that women were having in accessing services as distinct from the broader abortion issue? I think I think you've touched on it, what's going to happen in the coming months and years.
Oh, there are going to be difficulties.
There are going to be difficulties. So I think that people's natural humanity, especially women's natural, was and their concern was for those people who found themselves in those difficult situations. Yeah. And I think that was not spoken about too much during the referendum, and there was a catch-all. But I think that when it's rolled out, that there may be difficulties, and there may be it may not be as pleasant as indications of that from people and their comments and their concerns. And I think that that's where humanity will come into it, that people will suddenly start being concerned about actions.
Give me your thoughts, Tom, on the campaign for the abortion referendum. Whatever side anybody's on, it's entirely up to yourselves, and say what you want, don't say what you don't want, I don't mind. But the fact that it was very similar to the same-sex marriage referendum, led by society and not by politics. Yes, there were some politicians on both sides who were very prominent, but in the main, when I look back at it, it strikes me as kind of grassroots organisations that were doing most of the campaigning.
Indeed. Politicians were very quiet, actually, you know, at the start, giving room for maybe wriggle room as well. Micheál Martin stood up in the Dáil and obviously leading his own party in a certain direction that they weren't too encouraged by initially. There were lots of different angles on it. Yes, society led it in lots of ways. And that was that was encouraging, I thought, because people were voicing their own thoughts, and maybe, you know, we weren't as dependent upon the collective government or the collective elected representatives to be maybe showing the way. And I think the marriage referendum had a similar approach, I thought.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people, I'm not going to say are more educated now, but they're more informed, perhaps. Mm. Because of the way communications work nowadays, and we have an opportunity, perhaps, to understand the topics a little bit more deeply.
And I suppose, Brian, I'm torn between two points of view on this one, as to, yes, it's a good thing that people engage in politics. Yes, it's a good thing that Joe Public stands up and goes out into the streets and makes their point known. But then I don't know if it's an abdication of that duty by politicians in the main.
No, I think we have to rethink our decision-making processes at a public level. And there has been considerable debate worldwide in relation to developing greater public participation when it comes to decision-making. What I feel performed very well is the Citizens Assembly. When it was announced, I thought this is just going to be an exercise in kicking several cannons down the road. And I stand back completely corrected and said the Citizens Assembly was a valuable exercise. And if, quite honest, if anything Citizens Assembly is needed, it's needed in Westminster, because politics is broken down there. They're not in a position. They need to go to the people, have an informed group of educated, reasonable people that will define what is the best way forward in relation to Britain's decision to leave the European Union. That's another story. But the Citizens Assembly, to me, have a grain of an idea I've had in my head for many years, is that we need an assembly that are randomly picked from our voters list.
Yeah.
Perhaps they could be put into the Senate and provide a real counterweight to, you do need your democratic systems, I'm not saying they're not needed, but a real counterweight to the politics that happens within the Dáil Chamber.
60 senators ain't going to vote for that one, by the way.
I'm not asking them to vote, it's just an idea. Let people be taken for a fixed period of time, take their give them whatever expenses and wages they're needed, and provide a real counterweight to the flaws of democracy. I think it's a necessary point, but I won't labour it. But I don't think we, politics, and Patricia knows this better than most, and I know, it's a very delicate, you have to appeal to everyone and appeal to no one. You have to, you know, you have to dance in waltz, you have to cajole, you have to define, you have to lead, you have to follow. Mm-hmm. There's so many different nuances. But I do feel, if you asked anyone, what is the best form of governing a country, they would say, oh, the democratic system.
Yeah.
Ask them the next question, is our democracy working well? And they will say no. Mm. So we do need to go back and revisit how our democracy works. And I believe one of that is randomly, and there is a phrase for it, it's called sedition. It's nothing nasty, look it up. Sedition.
Sounds nasty.
Or sordition, sorry. Sedition, sordition.
It can be sedition.
Sorry, you're right. It's sordition.
I was thinking, all right,
there is a term for it. Randomly picking people to govern. It's been used through millennia. We need to go back and revisit it.
Mm. What do you make of the people's element aspect of the campaign?
I think it was very quiet and very dignified, and I think in this instance the people were leading, but because they had followed what had been happening, as I said, on the various medical misadventures, I'll call them that, for want of a better word, and knowing people who had had to go abroad for, as I said, the fetal abnormalities, definitely was the one that struck with me. You know, I never wanted to put the thing into the Constitution years ago anyway, you know, so, but having said that, and the part about it that I, and it's following what Brian said, our legislators could have legislated for certain actions, but they didn't have the courage.
Yeah.
That's the awful sad thing, that they didn't have the courage to legislate and correct the anomalies that were there. And that's, we get so much legislation, this country is awash with laws, but so much of it is bad legislation, tested in the courts and falls. But the thing is, some stuff isn't tested, and so therefore they don't bother doing anything.
Or worse again, tested in society and stays, but it's ineffective.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not serving society, and there is no way to change it. And getting back to the point that Brian, I'm concerned about the way politics is going. Very concerned about it.
Internationally, or do you mean in here at home?
Every place. I mean, but we'll start at home, because if we have to start in our own backyard and sort it. Because it seems to me now that if you shout loud enough, roar loud enough, rant loud enough, somebody's going to listen to you, and they say that's the popular thing, and they're not listening to the silent majority. And the other thing is that
why are the majority silent?
You see, this is it, because people are getting on with their lives. And they're busy getting on with their lives.
The majority are always silent.
Yeah.
It's in Nazi Germany, they said the majority of Germans were peaceful. Fine, but they were irrelevant. The people that were relevant were the Nazi people with the guns and making the noise. In the Muslim community, they'll say the majority of Muslims are peace-loving. Fine, they may be, but they are irrelevant. The Muslims are the Islamists that are relevant are the people with the guns and the bombs and the fundamentalist notions. So Patricia is quite right in saying that it is, fools and fanatics are certain in their views. The wise are full of doubt. And it's,
but I think we've seen where the silent majority, and I think the politicians, that's what I'm saying, the politicians are going to be very foolish now if they haven't listened to the silent majority in the marriage referendum, in the way they turned out in the abortion, and in other referenda they have been, you know, they were there and they let their voice be heard. The thing is that people can't differentiate between the person that comes before them to be elected and the person they vote for as being part of the system and how to correct it. And that's even going to get worse now, because you have this, do we have an opposition or not have an opposition?
Yeah.
And I'm there and I'm biting my tongue and I'm saying, but an opposition is supposed to oppose.
Hold you to account.
And there's no point in getting up and make a grandiose speech and saying everything that I want them to say, and then up to the hill, march them down. Up to the hill again tomorrow, march them down. Mm. You don't get action that way. And I think that frustration is starting to boil over and starting to come through in the public.
Unfortunately, I think, you know, this whole Brexit thing has a huge amount to answer for in terms of Ireland and, you know, the opposition being on the fence on lots of things, because they want to keep a stability, you know, over the next maybe 6 months to a year to allow Ireland to maybe not have the huge ramifications from Brexit, and then also in turmoil in terms of our own politics.
I need to take a break. Yeah. Back in 2 minutes.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.
We touched on Brexit in certain contexts. Do we want to talk about it at all? We don't have to. It's Christmas. You're in charge.
I think
that means we don't speak about Trump as well. Is that it?
Quite possibly. I just think it's interesting. The story that dominated across the year, that has had its tentacles in other stories and could have a massive, horrible impact on Ireland, and will have an impact but could have a huge one, and there's no appetite to talk about it.
Because people are burned from it.
Yeah,
I mean, and there doesn't seem to be a willingness to find a solution. Everybody talks about it was a vote to leave the EU, and it was, but they're forgetting about the tightness and the closeness of the vote. So you had 52% voted for, 48% voted against, and you have to try and find a compromise that will enable those people to live together and to not regret what has happened. Mm. And in fairness, there has to be an agreement if the UK is.
Where does it come from? Look, it'll dominate here in the new year. I'm very happy to leave it at that, because none of us are overly pushed about it.
I read an abstract a number of weeks ago. It was from a research paper from Cornell, and they're published online. But it said, you have all these dynamics happening. This abstract, one of the things it referenced, if you look at any situation over the last 500 years, and this claimed there were 16 of these situations where a superpower was being usurped by an up-and-coming power. It said in 14 of those 16 situations, it resulted in war. We know of a situation where China is economically, socially, culturally, its rise has been meteoric.
Yes.
And it is now beginning to usurp the USA, which have been dominant for years. And they're asserting that the likelihood of global conflict, and this is even something, this is lying beyond the big debates on climate, Trump, and everything else, That's sitting nestling there as well. Just don't want to give
thanks
anyone.
For that, Brian. Cheers, appreciate welcome. It. That's
Marcus Christmas,
Christmas, Brian. Something more bad news there for you. Let's try and flip the switch and go a little bit positive. I asked our listeners for some of their moments of the year. Mary Clancy was in touch and she says her standout was the ordination of Father Martin Shanahan. This took place in the parish of Kilmaria Brickin on what she calls a wonderful day. His son was the organist. It's a lovely story and he's a really nice man. And in Thurles, when Claire B. Tips is another person, locally, don't bring me back to China and World War III. Locally, anything jumping out for you?
I was, do you know what? I was
up or down?
I was extremely, what do you, locally?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to focus on Hurling. I was very critical of the Clare team following their defeat to Cork in the Munster final. But I have to say, their performances against Galway, you could have nothing but pride in Clare Hurling. You could have nothing but pride in Hurling nationally, but also in Hurling within Munster. And what it has done to Limerick City and to the people of Limerick. There's a bounce in their step. It's fantastic. And that permeates all levels. I know it's people say, oh, that's just sport, but it affects everything. It provides a certain amount of positivity. And I think we should have a pride in the Hurlers of Clare and their performance this year against Galway. It was nail-biting stuff, and we're still talking about it.
I still think Italian 90 caused the Celtic Tiger. Not fully joking when I say that. Mm. Patricia, you're not, don't look convinced, so I'll just move on. I said, you don't look convinced by my claim there, so I just, in terms of Italian 90, so I'll just move on.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed Italian 90.
The whole country did. It gave us a lift and it gave us a confidence. And like
and
Brian
every year
said,
they come after it. I enjoy every one of them and every sporting moment that I can get. I can curse and swear with the rest of them.
I know,
and
you
can. And shout and cheer and whatever.
I have
no
doubt about it. Locally, highs or lows from the year?
It's pretty hard to pin down something.
Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? Was it... is it more the same?
It's, I suppose in a sense we're picking ourselves up and developing, and the area that I know most is the Shannon area and the industrial estate and the business, the way it has, since the SAA took it over, the way it has come on and improved, you know, and the attractiveness for industry and employment, that has to be among the...
Yeah.
And I suppose the announcement that the Open was coming to Lahinch,
yes, that was something
with all its trials and tribulations, there have been... a number of events in the county that have lifted us, I'm saying, but which one stands out? You know, that's the...
It's a subjective. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to any of
it. It's been for, I suppose the way you look at it, it's for a year it has had highs and lows, and I agree, I love the hurling, enjoy it. The footballers didn't do too bad either, you know?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
no.
And they kept us going for a long time. So then we had the swimmers, and we had the rugby.
Yeah.
And don't talk about the cast match, because I don't want to talk about the cast match. I have been to rugby matches, and I have never, ever in my life seen...
This is the game in France
yeah,
where
yeah, yeah.
it's argued that two cast players should have been sent off.
Well, apart from that, what I have seen... The intimidation of the linesman was unbelievable. Anyway, but that's me. But and we had then the national team doing well, and we had the All Blacks, and we had, you know. So it's been what sport have I forgotten? The ladies' hockey.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We are now. You see, so not as much locally, but we have connections.
Well, we do.
We have connections with the rugby, the women's rugby.
Yeah.
And so everything reflects on the county, and we had a good season in the weather-wise, and there was a bounce in everybody's step, and.
Decent enough year. So
yeah, decent. Not a bad year, I think, but apart from the fact that the wages are still saying low. Everybody says, Patricia has to have some
little bit of happiness. We're getting paid in happiness. For yourself, Tom, I mean, I've been going through the year. It's all over the place in terms of where we are and where we've been. It does feel like more of the same. It does seem to be a deluge of news as well across the year. But the weather was a highlight in its own way. Even the snow in March, I know that it was a very serious one. I know it just up to the country, and I know some people were badly affected for a few days, but for the majority of people it was an idyllic Friday.
Yeah, but look, beast from the east, it brought maybe a lot of, you know, hardship initially, but it actually brought out a lot of local communities together to help each other.
Yeah.
You know, we saw lots of examples, brilliant examples of it, and again, I think, you know, everybody takes one day at a time. And, you know, obviously that was something that resonated with me, that people were helping each other in a positive way, and gave a great example of the community spirit we have in Clare and in Ireland generally. I agree with, you know, Patricia, the rugby. I love the rugby and all that. Six Nations stuff, and you know, St. Patrick's Day, beating the English over there. That's on their home patch. Yeah. It was just an amazing example of you know, great spirit. Like, you have the highs and lows. Unfortunately, we had two drownings locally here in town, and it was absolutely shocking for the families, and I'd like to spare a thought for those families over Christmas. Unfortunately,
there were so many other incidents of tragedies in this county this year.
Yes.
And there are a lot of families who unfortunately lost their loved ones very suddenly, and I won't go into names and anything like this, but you're right to remember Jack and Shane
it's just
that way.
Spare a thought for everybody going through that at Christmas time, because it's really, really challenging, and you know, there is another year, and hopefully that year will be a little bit brighter for them. But now we have a great president elected for the next 7 years, and all the build up to that was amazing, following it, and yet, you know, it was a foregone conclusion, I suppose, at the start. But we had Peter Casey, you know, quite rattling the sabres, and maybe, you know, his initials are PC, but he wasn't terribly PC in lots of ways. You know, with the latter part of his campaign. Look, it's been a real interesting year of news, and it still doesn't end. Like, we had drones in Gatwick causing mayhem to Irish people coming back home here, you know, maybe leaving to go foreign to other areas. So, you know, it just news is ongoing, and it's just interesting.
I can tell you, everybody in my job is hoping for a quiet last 10 days of the year. We'd love our Christmases at home as well. We still have to get our people, our person of the year.
Text Clare FM on WhatsApp now, 086 1800 964.
In association with the Tile Factory Ennis Diamond, specialising in your complete bathroom renovation.
We're welcome back. I'm getting given out to here. We can only get to so much across the year. I'm getting given out for all we've missed. But I've only got a couple of minutes left, because we do have some really good live music that's on the way in studio. And I want to ask our three guests in front of us for their person of the year. And we've been thinking about it during the break, and you've a very worthy suggestion, Brian Meaney.
I gave this considerable consideration since I saw Fiona's email. And the person of the year I would really like, he deserves it, is Laura Brennan. I understand Laura's plight, but it is in what she did, along with dealing with her own sickness, in squaring up to the anti-vaccination people, the people spouting the nonsense that not to take the HPV vaccine. She looked them squarely in the eye from a position of strength, from a position of knowledge. And I think, as a consequence of that, it has been empirically measured. There's been over 15% increase in the uptake of the vaccine from that point of view alone. Despite her, I understand her bravery in dealing with her condition, but it's from that perspective of having that intent, having that rationale, that she needed to do what her experience could provide influence to others to do the right thing.
She is unwaveringly positive.
Yes.
In the face of something that is just truly awful. You talked about the HPV vaccine rollout going up. That is the case in Ireland over this year. The HPV vaccine will also be offered to boys from next year.
Yes.
And I have no doubt but that she's had an influence in that, in terms of pushing it and in terms of advocating for it, and in changing minds and influencing people in that as well. I doubt there are any disagreements. Now,
I'd love to support Brian on that suggestion and recommendation. It's absolutely so important that young people get a chance to, you know, avail of the latest, you know, product that can save people's lives and build a life forward. You know, selfishly, Pieta, you know, have huge support throughout the year, and you know, especially in Clare, and you know, I can't nominate any particular person of the year, but I'd like to again acknowledge all the fantastic support that we're receiving and hopefully giving to people in Clare.
And there's so much of that going on, and it's very important as well. Some are calling this the year of the woman, Patricia. There was an Irish Examiner article last week making that point with regards to, I don't think Laura Brennan was mentioned, but with regards to the likes of the cervical check story that we've discussed, with the likes of the reaction to the Stuart Olding and Paddy Jackson trial in Belfast, for example.
I think, in fairness to Laura, has kind of slipped under the radar because there's been more publicity attached to other people, but her bravery and her courage in coming forward in the face of severe adversity, and, you know, for herself, and to fight the cause, as Brian has said, for the vaccine. And there wasn't the sexy subject to be talking about. Not that any subject in relation to health is sexy. So I have no difference. It will be. It is the year of the woman in that so many women have come forward and have made a stand. But it will only be meaningful if that continues. Mm. And that's the thing. And if we achieve something. Because you can shout and roar, but you have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing that door. And it's all right to say, oh, they're great and they're this and they're that and we're going to do this. And then when the next crisis, as I said earlier, the next crisis comes along and that one is forgotten about. And I don't think women are going to let things be forgotten about. And I think that it is a year when women quietly came forward and said, that's it, we've had enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any more and I'm telling people what's happening.
Quietly and not quietly.
Not quietly and not quietly, but quietly in the way that they did it. They weren't shouting and roaring. They came forward with their case with dignity
and
determination. Yeah. They did it where it mattered. They came out of the court and said, no, you're not going to silence me.
Isn't it quite appropriate for the 100th year anniversary of the emancipation and so on? Now, people, our women need to strive on from here, on an equal basis to make their voice heard.
Yeah, I think that the fight for equality was back in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, and I think it's only now people saw equality in different shapes, makes and forms, but I think to be seen as an equal person with rights and the dignity of a person is only now, after all those years, coming forward.
Hopefully it will continue
and won't fade.
Just to be clear, in case you've any doubt at home, I asked for the person of the year. It could have been absolutely anyone, anywhere in the world. It didn't have to be somebody local, but I will wholeheartedly endorse the choice of our panellists this morning and wish them all, Patricia McCarthy, Tom McAvoy and Brian Meaney, a very happy Christmas.
And a healthy New Year.
And absolutely indeed. Back with more in a moment. We'll have some live music in studio.
Join the conversation in Clare on Facebook, Twitter or call 1850 400 964.
You're listening to a Clare FM podcast. Morning Focus broadcasts weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 midday.